Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Good morning and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I am your host, Lisa Zimmer, and I am thrilled to offer the guests I have today for you. We are going to be speaking with Michelle Pascal, who is not only a transformational meditation singer, but he's also created a new movie called Expanding Reality. And we're going to be speaking about that incredible venture and documentary that is filled with so much everybody needs to be watching and everyone needs to be seeing today. In the second half hour, we have an equally intriguing guest who is not only an advocate, an expert, and an author, but she wrote the book ABCs of CBD, Shira Adler, and we are going to be speaking with her to discuss what her purpose in regard to her calling with CBD oil, the understanding and education of it for our country, and also dispelling a lot of the erroneous understandings and knowledge that are predominant throughout many awarenesses in our America of today. So without further ado, I have such an incredible guest first off to talk about and talk with. Michelle Pascal, transformational meditation singer and director of Expanding Reality. Welcome, welcome to Unlimited Realities. Thank you for coming on my show today.
Hello, Lisa. I am so
wonderful to have you today.
I am so glad with you, Lisa.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's wonderful to have you. I am so impressed by all the work you're doing. You are such a very busy man. And
No. My schedule is busy, not me. My schedule is busy. Me? No. My mind is calm, is clear. My schedule is busy, not me. Not me at all.
Well, see, look how wonderful that perspective is. I mean, if we could all just grasp onto that little tidbit nugget and live our life every day with that, that would just be a blessing, wouldn't it? But you, I want to introduce you to my audience, because if they don't know you, they need to know you. Because you are not only a transformational meditation singer who performed at Carnegie Hall and Google and numerous other venues, but you have also sung and recorded with the infamous Carlos Santana and is now recording a new album with Myron McKinley and Verdine White from the Earth, Wind, and Fire group. That is to be released, Carnegie Hall, November 26, 2018, which is right around the corner, people. If you want to go see something incredible, now's your time to get on it. So let's talk about this expanding reality, which I have to say is a beautiful complement to my unlimited realities. I just feel like it's a sister cousin to me. So let's talk about these incredible experts you have, these wonderful scientists and people who are tackling a topic that not only is something everyone who has ever thought about what does life mean, but what does death mean, are addressing. You're addressing consciousness. You're addressing expanding consciousness. You're addressing a scientific discovery that once it's touched upon is probably going to change everyone's reality. How was this concept, this idea of a movie, birthed? What inspired you to get involved with this movie first off?
It was the idea to make a bridge between the last discoveries in science about death that make Dr. Gary Schwartz, for example, the incredible scientist, Professor Gary Schwartz, because Gary directs the laboratory the most advanced in the world in Tucson University in Arizona about the death. And also amazing scientists like Dr. Mario Beauregard, Natalie Trent. I will say one of the best scientists, what they say today about the death and what we know in spirituality about the death. And when I talk about spirituality, I will say from the Buddhism perspective, because before
okay.
to live in America, I live in a Buddhist monastery during many years. I am the disciple
yes.
of Chepa Dorje Rinpoche. So it's very interesting to see that today the last discoveries of science, they confirm exactly what we know, for example, in Buddhism since 5,000 years. And what we know
yes.
in Buddhism, it's exactly what we know in Native American tradition. It's exactly what we know in different tribes, Apache, Sioux. I work a lot with the Chumash tribes in California. So the Egyptian also, what they say, Maya, I mean, all the tradition in spirituality develop a lot about death. But in Buddhism, the teaching about the death is extremely precise. It's really a science. So when we compare the experience in spirituality since thousands and thousands of years and the last discoveries of science, what we see, this is a documentary, we see they say the same thing with different angle, but they say the same thing. We live in a very special time. Science
mm-hmm.
confirms exactly the Buddhist perspective, for example, about the death.
Yes. I find this time extremely accelerating on so many levels for everyone because of the combination of bringing science and spirituality together and not making it separate from one another, but in fact intact. And that's why I found this movie so groundbreaking and necessary and important for everybody to watch, because this brings our experts, this brings a group of experts in one sector to discuss one topic that is going to be not only a topic that gives some answers, but also tweaks our mind in a way that expands it. It makes us think differently. It makes us feel differently. It makes us look at life in a more precious context. And I really feel that the more we can pump that kind of energy into the world today, as confused as this world is right now, that it brings balance to people. It gives roots to people. It gives people hope. And these are the things that the world is really crying out for. And so your purpose here in this movie, Expanding Reality, I can't give you enough credit and kudos and support for this, because not only is it a topic very dear to my heart, but it's a topic that I feel everybody needs to be touched upon. So when you were going through all of this research with these experts and this information, and as you were saying, the many indigenous, you know, a lot of indigenous tribes and cultures have this innate knowing, and they have this thread of similarity in their teachings and their awarenesses, whether it's the Navajos, whether it's the Egyptians, whether it's, you know, the Essenes, they all have this innate connection that seems to come from an expanded reality, an expanded consciousness. So when we talk about expanded consciousness and how spirit and brain activity and this realization leads us to scientific breakthrough, do you feel that we're in a time right now that is making us look for answers more, that because of our desperation and our fears, we have people like you who are creating the expanded reality movie? And do you also feel that there's more scientists stepping up and being brave to embrace this topic?
Your question is very, very, very interesting, Liza. And thank you so much to ask this question, because what we see, for example, in this movie, I develop the Buddhist perspective because this is my lineage. But we forget that an authentic spirituality, it's not a belief, it's an experience. It's so important.
Right.
Dalai Lama say all the time, Buddhism, it's not a religion, it's a science of the mind. So what does it mean? It means that, for example, in Buddhism, we don't believe in something. We experiment something. So, for example, we compare to information. We investigate information to be absolutely sure about something. So authentic spirituality, it's like a science. It's like a science.
Yes.
It's like Albert Einstein explained. Einstein explained all the time that a science, it's when we can compare, when we can have proof. It's exactly that we have, for example, in Buddhism. It's not to say, oh, if I die, I will go to the paradise or I will go to the hell. It doesn't work like that because it's metaphor. But the only thing that we can be sure today, it's we will die. And we realize that the concept that we have of the death, it's a totally wrong perception of the reality. This is exactly what proves the science today and what explain and prove spirituality. When I say spirituality, I don't say religion, like I believe this, I believe that, you must believe in Jesus. I don't enter in the archetype. Just when I talk about Buddhism, I don't talk at all about the cliche, you know, or meditation, I am sitting down in a lotus position. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
When we live in a monastery, we don't do that. So it's so funny. So when I talk about Buddhism, I talk, for example, from the Nyingmapa lineage, my school. In Nyingmapa, it's amazing how we study in details, for example, the process of the death, the moment of the death, the moment we go on the other side, the moment our energy goes on the other side. It's extremely interesting. In Buddhism, for example, we do the powa every day. What is the powa? The powa is the preparation of the death. Every day we prepare the moment because we know the moment will happen. Maybe today, maybe in 20 years. We don't know, but it will happen. To be very aware how to feel better during this moment, how to be calmer, how to have no fears, how to be more connected to the universe. So just if we start to develop that, we realize that in Buddhism, death, it's a science. So the thing so interesting, it's to see that science today confirms exactly the Buddhist perspective, for example. As Gary Schwartz says, the energy never dies. The energy transforms. So there is no death. There is a transformation of the life. Huh? It works like that. You know, my Rinpoche in my monastery, he did all time something so beautiful. He take a piece of paper. He burned the paper. You see the smoke. He opened a window. The smoke goes in the street. And he say, where is the paper? So, you know, it's a beautiful metaphor because we see in science, they confirm exactly the Buddhist perspective that the energy never dies. The energy never starts, never ends.
Amen.
It's a perpetual continuum. So when we start to talk like that, we are close to the physics quantum, that all is a perpetual mechanism in the universe. So we see that we have fears. We are so stressed. We are in the suffering because we have a totally wrong perception of the life. As Segal Schwartz, we are educated since we are a child with a totally wrong perception of the life, totally wrong perception of the death. Because we think, we are sure that there is a beginning on a hand, but it doesn't work like that. All the last discoveries in science prove, compare. There is no debate that when we die, our energy is moving in the room where we die, it's moving in the cosmos, it's a perpetual magma of the energy. So in this documentary with Gabriela Wright, Gabriela, she's an amazing actress, like to bring us inside this movie, we realize that when the mind is calm, when we have no stress, we can feel the eternity.
Right.
The eternity of the universe, the eternity inside us. And why we are full of fear, as you say? Because we are stressed because the mind is running all time. But when the mind is calm, we feel the eternity inside us and around us.
Yes, yes. And this is why you and this movie are so valid and important at this time, is to teach others without teaching others, because it's allowing others to find for themselves a way to garner that inner peace without being preached to, but being offered information that not only appeals to the right brain, but also appeals to the left brain in rationalization and analyzation, and offers this combination and balance to give us a tool. It offers us an innate tool to access for our own sense of peace and our own sense of evolution. And I, you know, these kinds of awarenesses are being birthed right now at a very rapid rate because people are searching and they're looking for alternatives to what they're feeling, because what they're feeling is this energy, this electricity, this angst, this chaos. And there's also equally this peace. So, you know, again, there's that choice. Are we going to tap into the chaos energy, or are we going to tap into the internal peace? And by offering these movies with experts, with scientists who are validating it, and I have to give a little plug for Dr. Gary Schwartz, because you're probably about the fourth guest I've had on this show who indirectly I'm talking to Gary Schwartz because he's done projects with numerous other some other guests of mine. So someday I will meet you, Dr. Gary Schwartz. I have a feeling. But this is just, you know, he's doing incredible work, and his work is moving out and creating this change and this wave, and you're creating this change, and your music's creating this change. And so all these little threads that we have, whether people realize it or not, it's actually helping to neutralize this chaotic energy that we've got buzzing around us. So we need more of you. We need more of your music and more of your movies and more of your altruistic perspectives, because these are what's going to help us all heal. You know, there's some people who can take direction and other people need to watch it. So
because
God bless
we realize, because it's so true what you say, because we realize, Liza, that spirituality, it's not a belief, it's an experience. When you see
yes.
the Native American tribes, for example, again, I work a lot with them since 20 years. They don't believe, they experiment. It's the same in Buddhism. We don't believe, we experiment. So we compare, we say yes, we say no, we need to have proof. So it's interesting to see the bridge today with the new tools of the science. It's a revolution. We live an amazing revolution time because we have tools to investigate our brain, our energies.
Yes.
Tools very, very, very developed, as developed Gary Schwartz, Mario Beauregard, Dr. Eben Adler also is in the movie. Eben Adler is amazing because he explained his near-death experience. So, for example, Mario Beauregard has investigate during many years people who live near-death experience. Those people come from different cultures, different system of belief, different age. They don't know each of them, but they explain the same thing at the moment of the death. So it's
amazing.
Interesting. It's very interesting to see that what they explain. When we investigate, when we make a survey, like Dr. Natalie Trend, she teaches in Harvard University. So when they make a survey, they are scientists. They need proof. So when
right.
you investigate thousands and thousands of people, and all they describe the same thing, the light after the death. When you investigate the Native American tradition or the Buddhist perspective, we compare science, spirituality, and we realize that they say the same thing. But in Buddhism, the difference, very interesting, it's how every day, as we say, we prepare the moment of the day. Because this is the peak of the life. We go to the sky. We go to the universe. This is, in Buddhism, for example, this is the day of the anniversary. The day of the death, it's our anniversary. Because we rebirth. We go to the sky. Yes. We go to the sky. And for example, when we start to talk about reincarnation and things like that, you will be so surprised to see how the teaching is in Buddhism is extremely precise. It's a science, very, 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 very precise. And there is no debate when you have proof after proof. So when we see this movie, I wanted also with the music composed by Laurent Robin, my friend, French, I have asked to Laurent to compose a spiritual modern music to feel emotion, to feel what's happening after the life, what's happening after the death. So this movie, it's also like a fiction because Gabriella Wright, she takes your hand from the beginning and she drives you in the Arizona. And we go to meet Gary Schwartz, we go to meet Eben Adler, all the best scientists. But the music creates an amazing climax of emotion. There is two moments in the movie, me, when I have directed, I was crying. Because suddenly we realize that after the life, oh my gosh, there is something. And it's not a belief. It's a reality that now science can prove.
Oh, I love this. I absolutely love this. It's my favorite topic. It really is. It's my absolutely favorite topic. It really is. I had a near-death experience, so I can attest to a lot of this. But this, where can the audience find this movie? Where can the audience tap in, buy the movie?
So you can go on the distribution of the movie, Expanding Reality, themovie.com, expandingrealitythemovie.com, or you can go on the distribution online that Gabriella Wright and me we have created, and the name it's aprimordialworld.com. So the movie is just a few dollars, and you have the movie in a full D HD with an amazing quality of sound, of pictures. So this movie, it's like an experience because we feel what's happening after the death. And as you know, Liza, when you make an experience, as you did, about life after the death, it's amazing when someone like Dr. Eben Adler is very famous in America. He was hosted many times by Dr. Oz, by Oprah Winfrey. And when Eben explained how this experience has totally changed his life, it's not you believe or you don't believe. It's you feel. It's very true.
That's right.
There is some, and when Gary Schwartz in his laboratory proved with experience that the life, the energy never die. You realize, we realize how we are so stupid.
And that's, incredible because, you know, you're validating the fact that, yes, it's all scientific. And we know now that you can't destroy energy. So they're taking that concept of, you know, energy from us, our consciousness, our consciousness never dies, even in death, and going beyond this realm of reality, going beyond this veil, this shield of what we can see in this world, to what's unseen in the afterlife. And, you know, it's such a powerful awareness because, sure, we have teachings for thousands of years in numerous books about talking about the afterlife or heaven or that place that we go to after we die. But, you know, to experience the emotional realm of that place is forever life-changing. And it's something that, when you recognize and accept that dimension of reality, it heightens your senses. And that's what I think this movie will do to people who watch it, is that when they watch this movie, through the music, through the awareness, through the knowledge, through the insight, through everything that you're providing in this movie, they're going to come out of this and they're going to feel a little altered. They're going to feel a little heightened. Their consciousness has expanded. And so this is where I find, you know, the genius of life and the genius in teaching is to take something that has been a complex understanding or topic and to create such simplicity with it and allow it in an digestible way, a fun and entertaining, if you will, way, not that it's entertainment by any means, but, you know, we all love to watch things. We all love movies and television and those things. So, you know, this is just, I really am so excited for the world to watch this movie and to expand their awareness and their knowledge, and not only that, but themselves. So if I can do anything to help pump this out for you, please let me know, because I'm a big fan.
Oh, Lisa, you are so kind. Your kindness never ends. It's like the divine energy.
Truly, no, it comes from my heart. I really mean it. This is a very close topic for me, and I know the power of it. I can feel it. I can feel the, you know, once we know something, we can't unknow it. We can't unlearn it, and so. The more we can get this awareness as, you know, through the kitchen door, the back door, through the front door, however we can get it into people's awarenesses to look at something from an expanded view, not just a limited written view from a book, the better this whole world's going to be. So I'm all for that.
We wanted a movie to give hope. To give hope and to realize it's not a belief. Hope is not a belief. It's an experience. So when all the scientists experience proof, what we know in spirituality, that the energy never ends, suddenly in 1 second, a movie can change your life. It was a hope with Gary Schwartz, Natalie Trent, Gabriella Wright, and all the experts to say, okay, is it possible that a movie can change our life, our perception of the life? As we say in Buddhism, can re-educate our perception of the life, because we are in the suffering, because we are educated with a wrong perception of the life. We are sad because we say, when I die, the energy is dying. But it's not true. To think like that, it's a belief. But it's not an experience.
That's right. And it's that piece of you don't have to take 20 years to expand your consciousness. An expanded consciousness can come in the blink of an eye. It's an awareness. It's an understanding. It's grasping a new concept. And so that's why I'm so excited, because in 2 hours, people's awareness will be expanded. I'm really excited about this. And I'm very much going to be pumping it from my heart and soul to everybody I know. So please keep in touch with me and let me know how this is progressing and what I can do to help support you and your work. You are such a godsend to this planet, and I really value that and you. And thank you so very, very much for coming on Unlimited Realities today, Michelle. It's been such an honor speaking with you.
Lisa, thank you so much for your kindness is unlimited, like the title of your show. And aww. I have a present for you and all the people who follow your show. As you say at the beginning, I sing at the Carnegie Hall Monday, November 26th, with my friend, the musician of Earth, Wind and Fire, the famous, incredible musician. So I can invite you, and I can ask to my team to be in touch with you, and we can offer 10 tickets for your followers if you want to come for the people who follow you.
Oh, you are so sweet. Thank you so much for that offer. You are such a wonderful man. It has been my honor meeting you and knowing you, and I look forward to a real-time meet with you, Michelle. God bless you, and God bless all of your work.
Shalom.
Shalom.
All my love.
Bye-bye.
Lisa. See you soon. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Lisa.
Thank you. Bye-bye. What a wonderful, wonderful guest. I thoroughly enjoyed that half hour. And please look into Expanding Reality, the movie. You will not be disappointed. It's a wonderful, wonderful expansion to our reality, our consciousness, our earth, our planet. we can't know enough. And on that segue, we're going to bring in another expert. And I've been really, really excited to speak to this woman, too. This has been a really exciting show for me to do and prepare for. I've been really looking forward to it because it's two great topics and two that are very close to my heart. I know the benefits of this. And we are going to have not only the expert, author, and advocate, Shira Adler, who wrote The ABCs of CBD, but we're going to talk to her also about what she's doing, what's changing in America in regards to the understanding of the benefits of CBD oil and the benefits of CBD, the differences between THC and CBD, and just some history and insight. So without further ado, please welcome with me my second guest, Shira Adler, the author of The ABCs of CBD. Welcome, welcome, Shira. Thank you so much for coming on Unlimited Realities today.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning, and thank you so much, my dear goddess. It is such an honor to be on your show. I love what you do and really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and everyone who's listening.
Oh, it's so nice of you. It's so nice of you to come on. I'm an equal fan of yours. So I love your book. I love The ABCs of CBD by Shira Adler, folks. You need to get it. You need to get it if you're a parent. You need to get it if you have parents. You need it. And I think this is such an incredible book. First of all, kudos for your bravery. I mean, we do live under Jeff Sessions in our federal government, and I really have to give you a tremendous amount of, you know, high five, girl, on your bravery and being an advocate on a topic that's not always really well understood in our America as it should be. So let's start off with a little bit of history. I loved, loved, loved your history of cannabis, CBD. I guess actually it wasn't CBD then. It was more of the actual cannabis plant they were using. But even back 2,000 years ago, let's talk about the bhang or the sacred grass that was one of five sacred plants in India used medicinally, naturally, and also as an offering to Shiva. I mean, we go back that far. Then we have George Washington. He encouraged everyone to grow it. And then somewhere around 1915 to 1927, we had that incredible non-medicinal use of cannabis prohibited, and soon after that, reefer madness.
Right.
Shira, let's talk about, I mean, where did we get so caught up in this? I mean, what happened?
You know, it's such a beautiful and significant question, and right now in our current language, everybody is talking about this thing called CBD, and they often refer to it as CBDs, and they're using it as a catch-all word to describe both iterations, two different cultivars of the species. So there's one plant species, cannabis, but there are two different forms of it. There's the hemp side and the cannabis side. And right there, I hope that clarifies some of the most common and confusing questions. And yes, sure, this plant species has been used by every faith and every tradition and every culture since the beginning of time, in all forms and in all dimensions and for all purposes, which is what's so magnificent, whether it's the agricultural perspective of how the United States was formed. We were very, very much a hemp-founded country. In fact, I like to say that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were the original bud tenders. They really were. They required that all the United States farmers grew hemp as a crop. The USS Constitution, our old naval battleships, the rope and the fibers were used from hemp. But from a plant-based shamanistic perspective, women have been using cannabis and this herb for childbirth, for pain, for suffering, to making salves and balms, and it exists since the beginning of time. And then along come, no offense, gentlemen, the white men in suits back in the 1930s during the Great Depression.
Right.
It's in the book. You know, there was massive unemployment, right? And what happens when we have times of political unrest and distrust, as we're seeing again now, you know, there's a public resentment. People are looking for a scapegoat. They're looking for a group of people to identify and blame for the ills that are befalling them. And what happened is that was taken advantage of by the media mogul at the time, who had a lot of newspapers, and he was very, very invested in promoting timber as an industry and taking down hemp, because we all know the biggest sort of competitor for timber, for paper, would be hemp, right? So
right.
he started to play on people's fears, and they started to look at the Mexican immigrants back in the 30s as, quote, those people, a racially inferior group, an underclass society. In a way, it's so stark, and look at what's happening now. It's so eerily
right,
similar
scary.
That we've
scary
gone
repeating.
Back to it's history repeating itself. But in that time, we had the newspaper men saying, oh, that drug and those people, and that's where the word marijuana came from. It was associated with the name according to the Mexican immigrants. And in fact, it's a name that I try not to use, because it really is just it was meant as a racial slur. And then we went from the 1930s and all of these people reading in the newspapers about those people and that drug, and we carried that energy, and we carried the fear and that lower vibration all the way through into the 1970s, and that's when the Nixon era did the same thing. He tried to marginalize the hippies and the African American and the minorities that are still to this day being racially inappropriately treated because of the use of this natural plant-based medicine. And that's kind of the ugly side of where it started and what's been going on and what we're still trying to fight against in terms of the history and the perspective.
Yes, you've got, you know, there's the piece of repeating history that's a little unsettling, because we have, although we've made tremendous, let's focus on the positives, because we have made tremendous strides in the legalization of both medicinal use and recreational use throughout the United States. But the medicinal use for marijuana comes in different forms. You touched a little bit upon hemp-based and cannabis-based CBD. Can you tell us the difference between hemp-based and cannabis-based?
Sure. So basically, again, looking at this plant species, there are two different forms of the plant, the cannabis side and the hemp side. And what's in the United States, we're still under something called the industrial hemp, what makes hemp legal for the purposes of the cannabinoids. And I want to make a distinction between, people are confused about, isn't hemp oil the same as CBD? So I should probably start with the definition. CBD is the name of one, it's short for cannabidiol. It's one of 120 plus chemical compounds that exist naturally in the plants, and they are called cannabinoids. And CBD and its counterpart, the psychoactive counterpart, would be THC. Those are the two most famous extraction points. That's what people really focus on. Both are used and both exist in the hemp and the cannabis. But in industrial hemp, in a hemp-based extracted CBD, one of the legal differentiators is that it has to have less than 0.3% THC. So if you're looking at, let's say, a full spectrum oil and it's coming out of hemp, it will automatically have to have less than 0.3%. That's how much those strains are allowed to carry, and that's really what they're genetically designed to do. They just don't have the same psychoactive level of THC. The THC in cannabis is over 0.3%. And that is what the ingredient that creates the psychoactive effect. So depending on where you live and your lifestyle and your comfort level, you might choose or opt to take cannabinoids from either the cannabis, if you're in Washington, Oregon, or Maine or Vermont, you know, all the states that are now coming on board with legal programs, there might be a reason that you choose to do that. Or if you're in New York, which is where I live, you really can't do that unless you have a medical card. And you might just prefer to use the products that are hemp-derived CBD cannabinoids. And I think that it's a yes and conversation. There are reasons to do one or both, but you have to be mindful. You have to know your state laws. You have to know, unfortunately, the federal laws. And it's still really an industry that's in flux. There, every week, it feels like there's a change. This state's coming on board. This one changes its program. This program isn't implemented yet. So the best thing that you can do as a spiritual being having a human experience is to get educated. know what options you have, understand the foundations of what makes this plant medicine so powerful, make the right choice that resonates for you and for your family, but do so based on education, which personally I find sorely lacking in this industry. And that's what I'm out here to do. Talk to people, meet people, write a book, have conversations, explore this industry, and support each other. Ultimately, that's what it's about.
Right. Well, because it's such a, you know, it really is an everything kind of component. And it's something that helps on so many different levels, from arthritis to, you know, cancer side effects to anxiety and everything in between. There's a
right,
lot of...
Right, it's beautiful, beautiful. How many, and it's in the book, there's a whole section on just what does cannabis, or let's refer to it as a species, cannabis or hemp, what can it be used for? It's just mind-blowing. The fact is that if you are in a physical body, you need and should be taking cannabinoids. We are designed, literally physically designed in our human form and physical form to be taking in cannabinoids through what's called the endocannabinoid receptor system. And all mammals are wired with that system, which means it's why you start to see a lot of pet products and a lot of people are discovering it's good for your animals, because we're all mammals and we are wired for it. So whether you are struggling with any kind of state of dis-ease, any challenge, any issue, the fact is cannabinoids, and CBD specifically, is highly anti-inflammatory, but it's non-psychoactive, which is why people are really more drawn to that than the THC, not just the stigma, but the fear of, and they don't want a psychoactive effect, but anti-inflammatory with no known side effects. Very, you know, the research is showing almost no problem with any of it for anybody. It also depends on the delivery method, which we can talk about, and no contraindications.
Yes.
You know, that's really
right.
Important. That means it's the way this plant is designed, no matter what other meds you're on, and no judgment, you know, we all have to make the choices that we feel resonate for us and our families. But you can be anyone with any kind of issue, and you can add CBD into your life and then slowly start to adjust and create a different sense of being and a different level of wellness and a vibrancy that you probably don't even know is possible yet. That's the beauty of it.
And is that because it receives, or it's connected with us through our own cannabinoids and our receptors within our own body? Because I know we have cannabinoids within our body, and is it because the connection between the plant and ourselves is received so well that there's no side effects or interferences with other medications?
Right. I mean, we should always be mindful, and I do encourage people to always trust your gut and muscle test and really, you know, do the research and know which companies are good and safe and legal and doing things on a high level, because not a lot of companies are yet. You know, the industry is new and there aren't really the standards that we'd like to see. But basically, yes, the way cannabinoids work, when you are putting them into your endocannabinoid system, the versions in the plants are phytocannabinoids. And what we create in our body and our system is the endocannabinoid receptor system. It's similar in how it works to, let's say, opiates. You know how opiates attach to the opiate receptors? And the problem is that the opiate receptors shut down your other system. So you stop breathing. It's horrible. You die. It creates withdrawal. It's a very, very terrible problem we have in this country with opiate addiction. And yet cannabinoids do the opposite. So when you are sustaining and supporting the cannabinoid system, what happens is it creates homeostasis in your body, which means that in my family, for example, we take my tincture. We all use the 1500 milligram, which is kind of a high-powered level tincture. And for me, it works on one kind of issue. And for my children, it allowed me to get them off of Western meds for anxiety and depression and PTSD completely. Now, it took me a while, but completely, they're off Western meds.
Beautiful.
And the dog has seizures, my rescue puppy. So we're taking the same product, one bottle. But on each of us, it works very differently because it works on where our bodies need it and recognize it and our brain chemistry adjusts to it. And it's simply allowing our own system to absorb what it's designed to absorb, to regulate itself, and our endocannabinoid system regulates all of our other systems. It doesn't shut them down. So that's why it doesn't have any contraindications, and it doesn't you can't overdose, you can't die from this, no deaths ever from it. It's just remarkable. Can you think of any other, literally anything else in the world that you can say
No. You
can take with any medication, you can be with any kind of issue, it will support your body will know what to do with it, and it will adjust and create homeostasis itself?
No, because even if you were to say an aspirin, which an aspirin has numerous benefits on so many levels, many people can't take an aspirin because their blood's already too thin. So it's like, it's like even the most gentle of forms of something that could, takes your headache away, but it also has a side effect. No, I do not know of any other alternative, Shira, on the planet that alters it. Affects and benefits our body in so many numerous ways. I mean, the fact that your dog, your children, and yourself all are taking the same type of CBD oil, and all of you have your cannabinoids receiving it in the area that you need to receive it for your own benefit, is like this little magic, It's kind of like this little miraculous magic that we all found, It's
right,
it's really
right.
Interesting, scientifically
it's
awesome.
It's so amazing. It is amazing.
It really
and it's also
is.
Important to recognize that, when we talk about we're trying to treat now cannabinoids as if it were a traditional drug and in the traditional ways, giving it a dosage recommendation and all that, it's a little difficult to do that, and here's why. We have to remember that we are mind, body, and spirit, which is part of the reason why I make the only aromatherapy line that's infused with CBD. And I do that because I want an inside out, an outside in, and a mind, body, spirit, holistic system, because we are more complicated than just working in one area. We can't just treat a symptom. We've learned this. It doesn't work. We can't just take a drug to alleviate this, to fix that, to cause another problem. There is an issue sometimes with people who take ingestible forms of CBD. There's one issue with a liver enzyme, the P450. And so what I always recommend is, again, work with a practitioner, get educated, and find what works for you in a safe and healthy manner. When you do aromatherapy, of course, there's no side effect to that. When you're doing a vapeable product, when you're doing an edible, you have to know the difference and the delivery methods of what's available, and then you really need to know the source material. That's of concern to me, that people are just starting to, in the green rush, as we call it, 500 new companies are coming up with products. It doesn't mean they're good products.
Wow.
And hemp oil is not the same as CBD. And all CBD is not equal. And it may not even be a full spectrum oil, which means it isn't just the CBD, but all of the cannabinoids and all of the plant enzymes and chlorophyll and all of that. So I think it's about using common sense when you're picking products for yourself and your family. I think it's about recognizing that the closer we are to using something in the form that nature created it, we're probably going to have a better fit and a better adaptation of that product than something that's been overly manipulated, either genetically or isolated. There are isolate forms of products. It just makes sense. If you eat a whole apple, you're going to get a lot better nutrition and more fiber. And if you're going to go to Jamba Juice or just buy a juice, you're just getting the sugar. You leave out the pulp. You leave out the enzymes. You leave out, similar to
that's
how you should be approaching CBD. That's my personal belief.
Right. I totally agree. I totally agree with that. And also, you touched on this, and I want to touch on this because there's such a difference, and I want to talk about the differences because this is a new concept for so many people, and it's a new concept for our America when they're opening up vape stores and dispensaries and, medical cannabis and recreational cannabis and all these things. So let's talk about I don't want to speak negatively of this, but I do want to address the differences between what a vape store is versus maybe a medical cannabis store or a dispensary that offers both. Can we talk a little bit about the differences that people do not understand or may not be aware of regarding?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Really important distinction. In fact, the funny part is while we're chatting, I'm actually even though I'm a New Yorker, I'm here in Oakland, California at a cannabis tech conference. I'm here as a media pundit. I'll be doing interviews with other new companies, and it's my job to pay attention not just to what I'm doing as the founder and CEO of my company, but the industry itself. I feel personally responsible to know who's doing what so I can share that information and bring the best of the best in terms of quality and awareness. So I think that it is very important to understand there's a really big difference in where you're buying the products, what you think you're buying, knowing the basic research. So let's talk about, you said, vape shops versus a medical dispensary. In certain states, if you have a program and you qualify for a program and you need to know what that state rules and system is, then sure, if there's a reason for you to have a medical cannabis card, then there's definitely no reason not to. And I would hope that you'd be working with a good practitioner who can follow you, who can really figure out what is right for you. And I also think that using my products are hemp, and they are not medical quality. They're more lifestyle, holistic supplement products, our body butter, our aromatherapy, and our tinctures. And that's a yes and conversation. That means you can take things like you take a probiotic and you take a good multivitamin and you should have your CBD every day. But you don't go to a vape store or a smoke shop for a tincture because those tinctures aren't designed to be ingested and absorbed. Those are designed to be something you would put in a product to smoke. They have chemical additives. They are not usually full spectrum or they may not be clean. Something I would love for people to remember when you're considering any product is that hemp and cannabis, but especially hemp, they are what's called remediation plants. That means that in an area where there's a natural disaster like Chernobyl, people plant hemp to absorb all of the pesticides, toxins, mold, or any yucky, disgusting, nasty stuff you'd never want. It soaks it out through the root system, which is, by the way, our best chance at saving the planet is to plant hemp, to use it for superconductors, to replace plastic, to make building materials, hempcrete. You know, we really, really can actually save this planet with hemp. So I'm a big, you know, activist and advocate on that. But that also
That's
means
a great show.
That
I've got some expanded consciousness and saving the planet all in one show. What a fantastic show.
That's right. We can do this. But here's what you want to remember. That means that if you don't really know the company, like I speak for my company and I speak for other companies because I'm a real person who really uses this, who has done years and years of research and testing, and I know this industry inside out. They consider me one of the elder women in it, which I think is kind of interesting because I don't think I look that old, but it means that I was one of the first
people. I don't either, Shira, and I would be highly impressed.
I know, I love it. They call me the can of godmother and the can of cancer and the pop mom and all these really fun names. But what that means is
mom,
that
I can handle. You know, yeah, I mean, mom, you're a mom forever, you know.
Exactly. But I want people to know that if you're taking a product and if let's say it's a newer company or let's say that the land or the farm they're growing is newer, it takes a couple of generations to heal out that soil. And you might be taking in some of what that root system has absorbed. You must be very mindful about that because pesticides, solvent residue, toxins, volatile compounds, that can all be part of the plant, which means it might all come up and be extracted into what you're putting into you and your family's brain and body. That's of concern to me too. Again, it goes
to
the industry, standards, testing, safety, protocols, awareness, education. It's all part of that.
Now, do growers or do dispensaries acknowledge that or, like, inform you on that, like let you know if this is an organically grown product or do they let you know if there's been, I mean, I imagine, you know, there's a level of honesty or a level of integrity somewhere?
For some of us, absolutely. We're the gatekeepers. And for others,
absolutely not.
And that's my issue. There is a really big range. There are companies that are rushing in and rushing to market, and they just pop up, and you're like, hi. And I went to an expo a few weeks ago in Anaheim. I was speaking on three different panels, medical and compounding and all kinds of things, patient perspectives. And what I found was I would ask a rep of a really beautiful setup booth with great-looking products and gummies and stuff that the kids, yummy. Who wouldn't want a little edible, right, with a gummy bear? But it has corn syrup and Red 40 and chemicals and this and that. And, you know, let's be wise about this. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it is. And when a company can't answer my most basic questions of where is your material sourced, where are you getting your biomass from, and they look at me like I've just spoken to them in a foreign language they've never heard before, that's of concern to me. So I smile. I thank them for caring and wanting to do right. And then I encourage them to read my book themselves. And it's very funny to me when I work at a wellness event and other companies come up and say, oh, my gosh, you wrote that book. And they use the book to try to educate their own consumers, but they themselves don't know the conversation. They're not fully invested in it. They're reps or they're, you know, they're newbies in a way. And it's great that there's such a zealousness for it. But I need the authenticity and integrity and intelligence and compassion to be underneath that. Otherwise, I have no interest. So I guess the short version is, yes, companies should really be doing this for the right reasons in the right ways, and not all of them are, which means you really need to trust where you're getting your material from. If it makes a medical claim, if it's something you see online that says, we cure cancer, we heal this, we fix that, walk away. We're not legally allowed to make medical claims. We're not. It's
amazing, you know, the greed factor when you know, something comes on the market and it's a benefit, and then all of a sudden you get this slew of energies that, you know, are mixed. You've got those with integrity, and you've got those ready to make a buck, and it's just, it's a mishmash of reliabilities and unreliabilities, both in product and service. So, folks,
absolutely,
Shira Adler, folks. She's the expert. She's the book you need to read, ABCs of CBD. And she's like she's at all these functions, getting all the latest of information to bring to you and to advocate for our health and well-being. Shira, this is just like so incredible. You're such an incredible lady. I give you such kudos and support. And if there's anything at all I can ever do to support you, please let me know. But let's direct everybody, while we've got some minutes here, to how they can find you, find your book, find information. I know there's a lot of organizations that are online that people can find information. On like Normal, and you've got the cannabis. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I so appreciate that. To me, I like to tell people, when you are really interested in this, then you must understand, I ask and invite you to become, whether you are an inadvertent activist, I'm asking for you to be a conscious one. Be an advocate, be an activist, join the organizations. I'm a member of many. Hemp Industries Association is a trade organization to promote hemp. And Normal is the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws. There are also minority groups. I'm doing some interviews today with a few wonderful groups. I speak on education and advocacy programs. I'll be speaking with Governor Cuomo as part of our Westchester County listening session. New York is about to hopefully legalize. I'll be a parent advocate and speaker for that with Drug Policy Alliance.
Nice.
There are lots and lots of good groups out there who are really trying to come together to affect change, to be the thought leaders and the change makers. And I'm honored to be a part of that group. You can always find me directly on my website, which is shiraadler.com. And also, I'm here in Northern California. I'm wrapping up a book tour, actually, so I will still be in Carmel by the Sea on Saturday and in Mountain View, California. And my book and all that information, I think you can find on shiraadler.com or on social at the one Shira Adler, T-H-E, the number one, and my name. And my publisher is valposabooks.com, and that's V-A-L-P-O-S-A, books, all one word, .com. So all my events that I do are posted there as well. And the book is The ABCs of CBD, The Essential Guide for Parents and Regular Folks Too. It's got a bright pink, millennial pink cover, and the subtitle is Why Pot is Not What We Were Taught. And so I'm very, very grateful and honored, Lisa, to know you and to have been on the show. And anybody who needs to find me, reach out and let's connect.
Oh,
let's help each other.
You've been just such a wonderful guest. I've loved having you today. Thank you so much for educating my audience and me and understanding all of what we can do to help make our world better and our lives and our health better. And thank you, thank you. Everybody, ShiraAdler.com, and the book is The ABCs of CBD. And it's an incredible book. It's informative. It gives you all the information you're going to know and any question you could possibly want to ask. So, Shira, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming on Unlimited Realities. And please keep me posted. I love connecting with you. Let me know how I can support you in any way.
I will. I'll send you some more aromatherapy. Everybody, I forgot to say ShiraSynergy.com.
Oh yes, please. Let me
check
take
that
last
out.
Minute to let me pump out you. She sent me this gift, audience. It's an incredible gift. She makes this gift. You need to go to her website and buy her substance, her products. It's incredible. It's this little spray. It makes you feel so wonderful and lighthearted. Yes, do it. Thank you, Shira. God bless you, and thank you for my gift. Thank you for my gift of you being on the show as well. And I look forward to connecting in the future.
Thank you, my love, so much. Blessings to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, audience, for tuning in today. This has been a really great show. I've loved these two people I've had on today. It's been really great information. And as always, I love that you are tuning in, and all my love and prayers for all of your needs going out for me today. God bless you. Until we speak next time, have a great one.